welcome to Welly 325 with my co-host
Rahul,
and we have a special guest on tonight.
Hi,
Costi, tell us a bit about yourself, why you're an Arsenal fan and your roots of football.
Well, I was born and bred in North London, local to the Emirates Stadium. Contrary to popular belief, I actually live close to the Emirates, then Tottenham Stadium, so that's why, yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan. I've been an Arsenal fan for my whole life, more recently getting into it, but yeah, let's get going.
Yeah, good. So we got four topics to cover today. Obviously, sad to Chelsea fans, all of us. Frank Lampard's been sacked. We'll be covering that tonight. We'll be talking about who we think the top four will be at the end of the season. We'll also cover the best youngster in the league, two categories, who is the highest ceiling and who is performing the best this season. We'll also dabble on team of the season so far this year. That will be an interesting one. But nevertheless, let's start off with Lampard. What do you think about Lampard being sacked?
I mean, for me, I know it's in the Chelsea culture to sack a manager after 2 years. That's their result system. But I still think with Frank bringing in this much talent this summer and having only 4 or 5 months to work with it, I think he's been done quite badly there. And I think he should have had it at least till the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, as a Chelsea fan, obviously it's gutting, like, having your club legend as your manager. I know you two don't understand because Mikel Arteta
is
really quite up there with the club legends. But yeah, having Lampard be sacked and just, fair enough. One thing to say early on, it doesn't take away from his legacy. And I still think what he achieved as a manager is pretty impressive. Top four with the transfer ban, lost his best player Hazard. I mean, Costa, do you think he's been impressive?
I think it's an interesting one because I think I hear a lot of fans, sort of Chelsea fans, go on about how Chelsea got top four with a transfer ban and how big of an achievement this was. But, you know, it's important to remember that the season before you guys finished third, it wasn't like you were coming off an awful season and you had a horrible squad. I know you lost your best player in Hazard, but you replaced him in Pulisic, who, in my opinion, is your best player at the club. So I think, yeah, it was a good job from Frank because no one expects him to get top four, and he did. So in that sense, well done. But I don't think it was necessarily the biggest achievement like some of Chelsea fans hype it up to be.
I think I have to agree there. I think Chelsea fans talk about Mount and Abraham, two academy youngsters. I mean, to be fair, they are youngsters, but they just come off maybe 2 years at high-level championship football. It's not as if they were completely inexperienced to come into the Prem. I think you had a decent squad, and fourth, it's a good achievement, but I don't think it's what Chelsea fans make it out to be.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like there were holes in Lampard's squad. Chelsea have had 6 errors leading to goals, and that's the highest out of any other team in the league, which I think is pretty shaky from a top six club. But I mean, defensively, Thiago Silva coming in has really reinforced the back line. But what I wanted to see was backing from players. And I know there have been reports about Lampard sacking, and I don't know if they're true or not, but Rudiger and Kepa speaking to the board and Kovacic. And I just think, as a squad, you've got to get behind your manager. And more in today's game, we're seeing players rebel. If I don't know if rebel is the right word, but certainly talk to the board.
But do you not think that there must have been some sort of reason? I mean, I read an article that said that Lampard, his treatment of Rudiger was described as kind of pretty abhorrent by someone inside the club, his treatment of Rudiger and Kepa. So, I mean, I think if players are going to the board, that's quite a big thing. And I think that there's definitely got to be something behind that. It can't just be players kind of having a go.
Just on with that sort of idea of players going to the board, you know, I was reading reports all of last month that both Willian and David Luiz had gone to, you know, Edu, Arsenal technical director, complaining about Mikel Arteta. But again, you have no idea. It's so hard. I mean, that's sort of like a point that in theory, like, sounds like it could make sense. At the end of the day, can you really imagine like a player going to the board, you know, to demand that the coach gets sacked? Like, it just,
yeah.
If it went wrong, then, you know, they would never get picked again.
I think especially with Frank too, like you can see it with Mourinho at some of his clubs, players maybe having an issue with his treatment of them. But Frank's like, he doesn't seem like that kind of guy where players would have to complain.
I guess my one thing is that I think it just was too early to sack Lampard. I think they should have given him in the season at least. And so be it. If it did end up that we're eighth, I don't think Chelsea will finish eighth or ninth in the final standings. But if it did, then fine, you have merit to sack Lampard. But just giving him a bit more time, and they bought into this process, and I feel like they've opted out a bit earlier. I mean, we've seen that with Man U, and look what's happened.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would have been devastated if I was sacked. I'm glad that all the kind of fans on Twitter didn't really get to the board or anything.
You think they had a persuasion in that? Surely not.
I think United fans on Twitter, the amount, maybe not on Twitter as much, but the atmosphere around the club, the fans controlling that is so high at United. I think that's got to change too. I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, but could be our downfall.
Mm. Yeah, it's fans, I think fans play a lot bigger role than people think. I know some of the top Arsenal journalists have said that if a club's thinking about signing a player, they'll sort of report a rumour out there to journalists, and then they'll sort of gauge the reaction from the fans based on that player, if there's excitement around it, if there's worry about the player, then they do take that into consideration. So I think, you know, that's definitely in today's climate of social media, a lot more important nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. I mean, it's obviously, I know looking at Twitter, loads of fans are heartbroken over Lampard being sacked, and I think the overall judgment is that it just was too early. But whenever he, if he was to go, whenever he was eventually sacked, let's say if he was going to, it was going to be tough. So let's move on to top four, or predicted top four. We'll go to our special guest first. What is your top four end season 2020-21?
Wow, that's tough. There's just so much stuff to play for, you know. I think, in my opinion, I think City are going to win the league, just based on sort of the last 10 games that we've seen. I think Diaz and Stones, their partnership's been so strong. You know, if Stones and Diaz can stay fit and maintain that strong partnership at the back, then there's definitely room for them to keep that defensive solidity. And obviously, they've got attacking quality, like their second team, their attacking quality would be ridiculous. I think City win the league. I think second, it's going to be tight between second and third. I think second and third is probably going to be Man U and Liverpool. Just from form, history, players. I know Liverpool obviously in a bit of a bad place at the moment, but at the end of the day, the quality they have, you can't really write them off from being at the top. And fourth, I think, is really, really interesting. So I really do think it's going to be Leicester City. The form that they've been in, just the way that their manager seems to manage games depending on who they're playing. I've watched a lot of Leicester this season. You know, I watched them against Arsenal sit back throughout the whole game, attack maybe once or twice, and when they did, they were just devastating. And I've watched them against smaller teams to completely dominate play, dominate possession, dominate the control of the game. And I think the ability to sort of have that in their locker, they can just sit back and counter you and score a couple goals, or they can dominate you in possession, means they're top four contenders for me.
Yeah, I think it's valid. I think, well, I'll tell you what I think later. Let's go to Rahul first.
As a United fan, I'm not confident, I wouldn't say, but I think we've got as much of a shot as anyone
else. Surely not!
I think that the kind of argument that City are like, that they're on this, I mean, City are on a great run of form. They have great players. They would be like the bookies' favourite. But I think United right now, we're in that phase where we've had a good run of form, and now we've just had against Liverpool that psychological result that says we could do this. So I think for United, also another point on United, sorry, all our players are returning to form right now. I don't think, maybe Martial is the only player on our team that hasn't fully clicked back into his best possible self. So I think that will happen at some point, inevitably.
Is that worrying?
No, I don't think it's worrying. I think that maybe the introduction of Cavani's maybe put him on the sidelines a little bit more. He had that red card against Spurs, a couple injuries. I think he's coming back. He's one of those players that has purple patches. Sometimes he's electric, sometimes he's a bit kind of not really there. So I think Martial will return, and when he does, the link up with him and Rashford, Greenwood will be incredible. So again, I'm holding hope for United coming top, then definitely City second, because purely their quality. Third, Liverpool, just because, again, they've got quality. They've got the injuries, but the players will start coming back and they'll get back up there. And then same as Costi, fourth, Leicester, just because Brendan Rodgers, I think, is an incredible manager. And they've got, like, I mean, Vardy's injured now, so this may shake things up because now Iheanacho up top. But, yeah, Leicester, they've got the quality.
Yeah, I think Leicester's a tricky one. I think they're interesting because we saw them last season. Everyone had high hopes of them, but injuries saw them fade away towards the end of the season. And they've got good squad depth, but can anyone replace Vardy? I'm not sure. But what I'd go for is Alan Shearer went at the beginning of the season for City, Liverpool, Chelsea, United. I'm not too far off that. I'm going to go City first. I think that, as Costi said, you know, Diaz and Stones are just top quality at the moment. And if one of them does get injured, then they've got Ake, they've got Liverpool, they've got Walker at centre-back even, or Garcia, but he's looking like he's going to Barca. And then I'm going to go for Liverpool. I think they'll bounce out of this strap. I think they're going to come out stronger. I mean, I think Klopp, I rate Klopp. I know he's got a bit aggravated recently and animated, but I do think Liverpool will come out. And United third. I know this is controversial, but I don't see them sustaining this run. I think they're a great side and they're one for the future, but I don't think they have true winners in that team to really bring home the Premier League. Cavani, yes, he's done it before.
Pogba, he's done the Pogba.
Yeah, Pogba as well. But in terms of just really following through, I don't see Man United. I may be proven wrong, but I don't see it. So I'm going to put United third. And I am going to put Chelsea fourth. This is... you laugh, but we'll wait for it. The reason I would put Leicester, but I said injuries-wise, I don't think they'll be able to stand up there. And I think they will drop off, especially towards the end. But I think the honeymoon period with Tuchel.
Either way.
I think it's Tuchel. That's why I was
hesitating. Tuchel.
Yeah, I think it's Tuchel.
Yeah, I think the honeymoon period with that will really take them off. And we've got a difficult run of games in February. And I think if that honeymoon period lasts over them, we're going to be in a much better position. And then that's my reasoning for that. I mean, Tottenham, Everton, I just think they'd drop off.
Do you think that Tuchel coming in is going to instantly revitalise maybe Havertz, Werner? Ziyech been good, but yeah. Nick a bit better.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't really understand because I think Werner and Havertz were always going to struggle coming into the league. I think they're young, and especially people don't understand in these corona times, not having any of your family over with you, not being able to meet new friends. I mean, in terms of the mental side of the game, it's going to be really tough for them, and people don't quite clock that, or maybe they do. They're just undervaluing that sort of aspect, but that's their opinion. But I think they will. I mean, you can see their quality. Just when Havertz is on the ball, you know he's going to be a top player when he's older, and what he did at Germany was special. And similar with Werner, he's just going through a bad spell. But yeah, that's what I think. I mean, we'll see who's right. Next is a...
Is no one going to just throw in the idea of Arsenal scraping in the top four? Just scraping in there.
Honestly, I'm not... I think they've got as much of a chance as Chelsea.
I think that if it's not Leicester, it's probably going to be Tottenham. And if it's not Tottenham, it's probably going to be Chelsea. But if it's not Chelsea, it's probably going to be Arsenal.
I think Chelsea and Arsenal, similar point.
Everton?
I don't think it's going to be Everton, no. But the thing is with the likes of...
Villa.
Yeah, that's true. They do have, like, three games in hand. So
but they're one injury away. Like, they play the same team every time.
Yeah, it's so true. But you can say something about United. It's like, they play the same team every time. Like, I can always guess United starts the 11.
I mean, we've... Since Cavani's come in, I think our rotation's been... Compared to last season, lockdown, yeah. No
at rotation. Midfield.
Now we've got... Yeah, midfield, we've got McCred Pivot, Pogba, Matic, and then obviously Bruno.
Strong team. It's a very strong team.
But the thing is, if either Bruno Rashford, if Bruno or Rashford got injured, one of them,
yeah,
I'd try to race over.
I agree on that. I think they're too important. Rashford's got like 14 goals, 8 assists.
Yeah.
Crazy
numbers.
But yeah, I mean, top four is going to be an interesting one. We'll see where it ends up. We'll see who predicted right. Next, we're going to move on to our next category, which is best youngster. This is going to cause a lot of controversy. I know everyone will have. I'm going to take a guess here, Ali. Odd Costi's going to go for Saka, and Rahul's going to go for Greenwood. Those are my two guesses, and I think I'll be right. Let's start off with our special guest, Kosti. Let's hear why Saka is the best youngster in the league.
It's not just Saka, and that's the beautiful thing about Arsenal's academy. We're in that position now.
Okay, you know what? Let's change it. Who's got the best youngsters in terms of total youngsters at the moment?
We'll do both.
All right, we'll do both.
I would say total youngsters right now, I'd say Arsenal. Surely total youngsters.
The thing is, when we say youngsters, I'm saying 20 and under.
I disagree. I think 21, 22 and under.
But that's like
Rashford. You don't use Rashford as a youngster anymore,
yeah,
do you?
No, but that's because he's been around for so long. Fair play to him.
Yeah, but then you have to bring Rashford into that bracket. You do. Well, then obviously Rashford.
Actually, sorry. I said Arsenal earlier. I think the United, Greenwood, Diallo.
Who is this? He's a big money signing, but like you haven't seen him play.
I hold high hopes for this guy. Atalanta defenders have said he's the next Messi.
We thought Kai Havertz was the next Zidane. That's turned out.
Yeah, no, he might. No, he won't be. But
the thing is, when we talk about Premier League youngsters, there's three Arsenal names.
21 and under.
Fine, 21 under. Fine. Well, then I'm going to bring in the likes of Reece Nelson. I'm bringing the likes of Emile Smith-Rowe. I'm going to bring the likes of Gabriel Martinelli, Bukayo Saka, Joe Willock. No, we're not
going to
go with it. But we're
going to
go
on numbers. Numbers alone. Not the best standout youngster, though. Arsenal, I think as a group of youngsters, you've got the best. I think that's not really up for debate. But I think individual youngsters, Greenwood, takes it there.
I tweeted the other day, Greenwood's finishing is another level. Because it is. He's got an eye for goal.
It's the most natural, high-quality finishing I've ever seen. At that, maybe not even at that age, it's just natural.
It's quality. But I'm going to disagree. I mean, I'm not being biased here. I genuinely think Chelsea, and I think that's just because of how much we rely on, like Reece James, rely on him. You can see our attacking threat dropped when he got injured. I think he's player. We'll get onto that later, but I think he's best right back in the league this season. Also, look at Mount. I know he's 22. His birthday was the other day, though, so technically 21. I'm squeezing him in that, bracket. Hudson-Odoi, we've seen what he's done off the bench, although consistency's not been there with him, like with someone like Saka, maybe, where we've seen it throughout the games, him carry Arsenal.
Just with that sort of point on Saka, I think a lot of people seem to forget that he is a player that, without him, Arsenal just looks so bad.
It's the same with Mount.
But I think Mount doesn't change the game like Saka does. Mount plays with Chelsea.
Your team, though. I think Saka changes the game for Arsenal. Mount doesn't for Chelsea. But
if Mount played for Arsenal, he'd be a very good player for Arsenal. What I'm saying is, if you didn't have Mount, you put Kovacic in there, you put Kante in there, and you're fine. Like, you're not going to... You know, it's not the end of the world. Without Saka, we don't have anything going forward apart from Emile Smith-Rowe, who we've recently seen, and he's been brilliant for us.
He's been good.
I'm not sure if any of you watched the Southampton game from the FA Cup where we lost 1-0, but we didn't have Emile Smith-Rowe. He was rested for personal reasons and fitness reasons, and it's just scary how different of a team we are without him. I know we're bringing in Martin Odegaard now, which will hopefully sort of relax that pressure on him, because, you know, as a young kid, to be the only creative force in an Arsenal team is worrying. But I think Emile Smith-Rowe's got to be in the conversation.
So one name each, best youngster in the league.
Greenwood.
Bukayo Saka.
I'm going to say Phil Foden.
Yeah, I was going to say no one's mentioned he's special too. I think him and Greenwood up there. And then Saka just behind.
Foden is something else. Like, he's 20, but he is something else. Like,
I think when Saka and Greenwood are the sort of age of Mount and Foden, then they're going to be just different level as well. You've got to remember that. I remember Saka. You know, Saka made his breakthrough season last year. He was 17 at the beginning of the year. You know, he's 19 now, but he's had a year pretty much of first team football, and he's already that good. Same with Greenwood, to be honest. He broke through last year as well at 17.
Just looking at some of your tweets, I remember you saying, just to show the progress these Arsenal players have made, is you said you'd rather play in the Europa League than Champions League as an Arsenal fan, of which you evidently said that you think it'd be able to give the young players a chance, and Saka, Martinelli, yeah, there's a real call for them playing in the Premier League, which they've been doing and performing. What does that say about Arsenal at the moment?
It just says that we're really bad, to be honest. I think if we didn't, I stand by this, I think if we were in the Champions League this year, we would have been embarrassed, one, and our young players wouldn't have had the chance to really shine and come through and help us in the Premier League. I think that, you know, obviously the big idea with Champions League is the financials it brings to the club. But I think Arsenal have saved hundreds of millions by developing these young players, be it Saka, Smith Rowe, Gabriel Martinelli, that they would have then had to go into the transfer market for.
And soon Odegaard.
And we're bringing Odegaard in, and I think that's huge.
What does that mean for Smith Rowe then? Rotate? Or who stays?
I don't know, because, well, I was looking quite a lot into Odegaard and his preferred position and where he can play, and I think he does normally play as a number 10. Which is where Smith Rowe is playing at the moment. But knowing Mikel Arteta and his sort of his want and his desire to go to a 4-3-3, a part of me can see a midfield three of Partey as sort of the number four, the holding midfielder with a two number eights in Smith Rowe and Odegaard. That would be my dream midfield at the moment. And maybe for more attacking games, and then for games against, you know, the big six or away from home, we go with a pivot of either Partey or Ceballos or Partey and Xhaka.
One thing I think is interesting in terms of the best youngsters in the league are the players like Rice, Declan Rice. I mean,
he does the job, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does the job, and he's so young.
He does the job. I think he's a great player. I'd be very happy if United got him, but I do not think that he is at the level of Greenwood in terms of natural talent at their age. Greenwood, Foden, Saka, then leagues ahead. I think Rice is a great player. He does a great job.
Pulisic.
I mean, Pulisic,
as an Arsenal fan, vouches for Pulisic's ability. You saw what he did in the FA Cup.
Yeah,
Pulisic's
your best player. I think he's just the best player, 100%.
But, again, I think he had his spell. I mean, if he returns to form this season, he could be in the debate.
Yeah, but he's just an injury-prone player. Isn't
yeah.
The amount of injuries that he gets, he can't get that sort of 15-20-game run of form that we've seen the likes of these other youngsters in the conversation having, just because of the pure injuries.
Is that yeah. been managed better?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but Chelsea was so reliant on Pulisic at the end of last season.
Yeah, I'll count that in.
He did, you know, I think he was probably the biggest factor in carrying you to the top four.
Can you blame Frank for leaving him in?
No, 100% he had to stay in. Without him, you know, who would you have on the left instead? William? No, thank you.
I remember us having a talk in the summer about how great William was going to be. look how that turned out for Arsenal.
Because he was not great last season, but he was a good player. He's now, like, nothing.
No, I was looking at the stats, and he was Chelsea's biggest chance creator last season. Right. I think it's just the underlying stats. He creates chances, but he just looks so bad during the rest of the game. He might create one or two chances in the game, but he just doesn't run. And that's the thing that annoys me and all the Arsenal fans the most, is that if you're a player who's come in, you know, for free, but on big wages, you know, the least we expect from you is that when you're called up, you run, and you run hard, and you work for the team. And if you're not even going to do that, then, you know, there's just no point anymore. I think we've got to cut our losses with Willian, try get rid of him in the summer if we can. The thing is, if we can get rid of him in the summer, then we would have made a profit. That's the thing.
Would you take 40 million for Pepe?
Yeah,
I would. Just because I've seen Saka come in his position at right wing and just be phenomenal, like absolutely phenomenal. And I think My ideal sort of right winger position is Bukayo Saka, and I see a backup for him as like a Reece Nelson type player. I think that will work really well. And I think we've got Pepe and Willian now, who are two right wingers who just aren't performing. And it's not that they're not getting chances. They get their chances again in the FA Cup and in the Europa League, and they just don't do anything.
So where does this, we're talking about these youngsters. We mentioned Greenwood, Foden, Saka, Rice. We haven't mentioned Callum. I don't think he's up there yet.
He just doesn't have the game time to be in the conversation.
Where does this
he's got the talent. He just, I mean, especially under Frank, he couldn't get a game. That might change now, but I mean,
I don't know if you guys, I'm sure Giannis and I watched it, but I don't know if you watched it record the Arsenal-Chelsea game at the Emirates.
Yeah.
You know, Callum came on, and he was just by far the best Arsenal player on the pitch.
He got given the start against...
After the Arsenal game, he got given the start, didn't he?
No, he didn't. He did,
I remember. He definitely got given the start after
and then he got, and when he got the start, he didn't take his chance. He got the start against Leicester and did nothing all game.
I think giving players one start and telling them to take their chance at that age, it's harsh. I think for a player like Greenwood, we played him, you start him in the Europa League, which, I mean, again, Europa League's pretty good for that, and then get him into the Prem, give him a consistent run. If he doesn't perform after, like, three games, then maybe think about swapping him out. But I think... especially under Tuchel. I think what Tuchel did with Dembele, Pulisic, when he was at Dortmund, he's good with youth, and I think that he may bring out the best in Callum.
Well, yeah, you've got to remember, a lot of people seem to forget that Bukayo Saka last year, you know, at the beginning of the year, I think, I'm not sure if you remember the Arsenal-Man U game at Old Trafford last season, the 1-1, which that banger. Bukayo Saka started in that game. You know, he performed well in the Europa League, got given his chance in the Premier League. He didn't really take it, to be honest. He didn't do anything special. And then he didn't play for a bit. And then we had problems at left back. He came in at left back and was just phenomenal. So, you know, it's not just those sort of one game or miss. You know, they will get their chances eventually, and it's just about building consistency.
I wonder where this leaves England on their future and how you squeeze these 20 players who supposedly brilliant into one 11. But let's move on to the team of the season so far. Let's start with our guest again. Talk us through it one by one, and then me and Rahul and I will say what we think.
Okay, wow. So I think in goal, I'm going to go with Emi Martinez. I think he's been brilliant for Villa. Fair play to him. Completely deserved the move. Tough one for Arsenal again.
Said it was a step up. Turned out it was.
Well, I think he did say, I think what he meant was a step up in his career in the sense that he'll be number one.
Worked out. That's best transfer of the season for me.
Yeah, one half.
Yeah, probably.
After team event.
Yeah, I think left back, I'm going to go with Kieran Tierney. Just because he's been so phenomenal for Arsenal. I'm not sure if you guys watched the Arsenal Crystal Palace game, and we didn't have him, but we were just so lost without him on the left hand side.
West Ham goal, jeez.
The West Ham goal was ridiculous as well. The two centre backs, I'm going to go with Thiago Silva for me.
Great voice.
Just because I know that he's been poor recently, but the whole Chelsea team have.
Well,
yeah, I mean, I watched him.
Standout performer in Fulham, standout. He played well against Leicester.
Yeah, but I guess, you know, when you're conceding 3-2, and it's just hard to say you had a good game. The other centre-back, I'm actually going to go with Harry Maguire. I know it's controversial. I think he's had a really good season. And I think he's sort of, you know, last year he was a joke. And to be fair, he deserved to be, just for some of his performances. But this season, he's really stepped up, and I think he's been...
I thought Diaz was more worthy of the centre-back.
I think Diaz hasn't done it all season, though. You know,
Like, 9 clean sheets, is it now? 8 clean sheets?
I guess. But, you know, there's been 19 games. But, yeah, I think either Maguire or Diaz. But for me, it's Maguire. At right-back, I'm actually going to go not with Reece James.
Controversially.
I'm actually going to go with Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Nothing going forward. Great defensively, nothing going forward.
But the thing is, there is a bit more going forward now.
There is a bit.
I watched Man U recently, and he's not necessarily a threat going forward, but he's in the spaces, and he's like drawing defenders away, and he's always there, which is just as important than sort of putting in the perfect ball in. His work rate as well is brilliant, and I think he's a top right back.
Brent, what's happening to him, mate?
Trent has just completely gone off the rails. I don't know what's happened to him, to be honest, this season. Him and Robertson both have been awful.
Robertson, he's been all right. He's got...
In the last sort of 10 games, they've just been rubbish.
Midfield?
Are we doing a 3? 4-3-3?
You choose. Or a 4-2?
Yeah, I'll do a 3.
Do a 3, yeah.
So at CDM, I'm going to go with... This is tough.
Gundogan.
Yeah, Gundogan, I'd probably play a bit further forward. But Gundogan's definitely in there, to be honest. Gundogan is fine. We'll play Gundogan in that sort of in that holding role. Just above, I'm going to go with Bruno. He's got to be in there. It's just not even a question at this point. It's annoying, and we all hate it. But, it's just, you know, I think last season he was a pen merchant. But this season we're actually seeing him score goals, and that's, you know, the heartbreaking thing about it. They're good goals as well. So he's going to go in there. And then I'm also going to go with Jack Grealish in the final.
Ooh,
spot.
Not just KDB.
Not KDB. I don't think he's done it as well this season for me. He hasn't been. I've watched it quite a lot of City, and the amount of chances he's missed is just ridiculous.
I was reading a stat to just back that up. Werner was like expected plus two goals or something, which was really high. And I think, I may be wrong, but I think Sky Sports put De Bruyne at 3 point something, which was the
He's missed so many big chances. He seems to get them at least two or three every game.
Yeah, well, City, isn't it? They create loads of chances.
Yeah, and he's normally one putting the balls in, to be fair. And then, so my front three, I'm going to go with, at left wing, I'm going to go with Marcus Rashford. He's just been so good. I think maybe what he's doing off the pitch is sort of impacting my decision a bit. We've all got huge respect for him. Yeah, what he's doing off the pitch, and he's doing it on the pitch as well. He's been brilliant.
Son.
Yeah, it's a hard one because I think Son and Kane in there. I'm gonna put Kane in there, but I'm not gonna put both Son and Kane.
I had Son and Kane in there in my team. I had Son and Kane in.
It's fair enough. It's fair enough. I'm gonna go Rashford. I'm gonna go Kane up through the up top, and I'm gonna go Bukayo Saka on the right wing.
Interesting.
That's a good team. Should I rattle through mine?
Yeah.
So it's a bit similar. I got Martinez at the back. Been excellent. Tierney, also been excellent. And then my centre-backs, I've got Diaz and Fofana. So I think Fofana, he's kind of missed out. He's 19. Come in, big team, Leicester. And he's done amazingly, especially with Soyuncu being out. He's been unbelievable. And then right back, I've got a much different one, James Justin.
I think he's playing a lot of left back.
I think he's so good. I love him at United. As a backup for Wan-Bissaka, he'd be perfect. And he can play backup left back too. Then my holding midfield, he's rapid, great crosses, smart, good defender. He's like one of the perfect fullbacks.
He suits that Leicester team, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Holding midfielder, I've got Gundogan. I mean, he's not really a holding mid, but he's been excellent this season. Foden and Bruno just ahead. I think Foden, for City, he got his chance last year a bit, but this season he's really got a number of, like, a good run in the first 11, and he's
I'd argue not enough to make the team, though. Every time he's done it, he's been really...
I think he's been City's, in every game, if we're taking the games he's played, he's been top two players in every single game.
But he just doesn't play enough for me. I think if he started every game of the season, he would be
probably the best player. But I mean, De Bruyne is up for a month now. So I hope, I don't hope. I reckon Foden will get the 10, and he'll get to play there while De Bruyne. And then front three, Salah, he's top scorer in the league. He hasn't been great last five games, but he's still an amazing player. And then Kane and Grealish. Because Grealish, again, I mean, he's been not carrying Villa, actually, that's a bit harsh. Last season he carried Villa, this season he's been easily their best player, captain, unbelievable player, and then Kane, he's Kane. I think Kane's the best striker in the world.
Kane probably is, or Kane Lewandowski, but Kane's definitely.
I think the fact Kane's doing it in the Premier League, obviously we have Premier League bias, but from what I've seen...
Yeah, I mean, we've seen German players do it in their German league.
Very great. It's a murder. Yeah, very funny. Cool. Yeah, I would goalkeeper position. I think it has to go to Martinez, but Darlow's up there.
That's a good shout.
He's up there, but just because of Aston Villa's results, Martinez is there for me. Right back, I'm going to go with Reece. It was tough between Cancelo. I know he's been playing left back as well.
Who's your favourite Chelsea player?
One of them. Or Pulisic. Or Mount, probably Mount. I don't know. I love them all. It's got to be. It's got to be Reece. I just think he's been so influential. I think he's doing what Trent did last year in terms of the way we play. We just play crosses in. I know it's cross FC at Chelsea, but it's similar to what Liverpool do. But Reece has just been superb for me. Defensively, he's strong. You know, he's really held his ground. He's not been great after injury, but he'll find his form. Silva, I think that was very, very good decision from Costi to put him in. He's been transformational for Chelsea. Diaz, I've gone for, as I mentioned earlier. Maybe a bit of Chelsea bias here, Chilwell. I just think he's got three goals. And five assists, three assists and two goals maybe, which is pretty solid. And he's obviously solved that Chelsea left back problem, which we've had last season, which I think is strong. I'm gonna go for Bruno. Sadly, Bruno.
He has to be in.
He's inevitable, isn't he?
And I'm also one thing we haven't mentioned, which is Pierre Holdenberg.
I was considering him
as well, to be honest, but I can't have more than one Spurs player in the team.
Do you reckon that's the best swap, one of the best swap deals in the last 5 years?
It wasn't actually a swap deal, though, was it? It was like two transfer deals.
Was it?
Yeah, so like they paid the money for, I think it's probably just a balance of books, to be honest, but I don't really know. Might have been but I remember reading the transfer at the time, and it was said, you know, this isn't to do with the Walker Peters deal.
We haven't mentioned Reguilon at left back.
He's good, but
he's been very good.
Yeah, but he's sort of like you could play him a left wing and he'd do a job, but I wouldn't you couldn't play him a centre back. You know what I mean?
Just because Tierney played
Tierney could play left wing.
Shaw's in with, actually no, not yet. He's only had a few good games. But
last four games since Tellez arrived, fine. It's good competition, eh? Feel bad for Tellez though. And then up front I've gone for Grealish, Kane, Son.
Grealish on the right.
Yeah. I just needed Grealish in, and I needed Son and Kane in, just their numbers. They're recreating what Drogba and Frank Lampard did.
I think if one of those gets injured, Spurs are the most reliant team on two players in the league by miles. If Son or Kane gets injured, they're in a big, big like situation.
Yeah.
Bale's average.
Well,
he's not good anymore, is he? He just doesn't have it.
I don't know. I think he needs to give it a run of games.
No. He just doesn't have the match sharpness to
get given. Mourinho is trying to manage him just because he's a big name. He's trying to manage it. Like, did you see that video of them going, do you want to hear or go back to
play? Mourinho, he does that a bit with some players and it works, but like he did it with Dele Alli and now he's off to PSG, so like...
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's what I've gone for. But anyways, lovely having our special guest on. Costi, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. Much appreciated. Hopefully see you soon. Rahul, again, brilliant from you. Thank you, guys.
You're good. All right, cheers. Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed. We'll be back next week.
Good night.